To cope when sorrows overcome us beyond our capacity. My guess is, I don't know you very well, but my guess is that some of you are overwhelmed this morning. Maybe you have a smile on your face. Maybe when somebody asked you this morning, how are you doing? You said, I'm doing good. But on the inside, you have a growing sense of alarm, a growing sense of panic in your heart. And the rest of you, well, maybe you're not overwhelmed this morning, but you know that you will be. You certainly will face failures and responsibilities and sorrows beyond your resources. Well, in our passage this morning, Hezekiah was overwhelmed. Humanly speaking, he had no hope of deliverance. He had no hope for deliverance for himself or for his people. And yet by the end of the story, we don't see Hezekiah sinking down into despair, but we see the living God, his living God who intervened. And God heard Hezekiah's prayer. God delivered Hezekiah and vindicated God's name as the only one to be trusted in. And the Lord, He has given us this account. He has recorded for us this account so that you can see your overwhelming circumstances in a new way. And through this story, God is enticing you. He is encouraging you to face your overwhelming circumstances, not with despair, but with hope, with exclusive hope in the living God. How does this story do this for us? Well, this story, it gives us hope. It entices us to hope by giving us insights into our overwhelming circumstances. And so that's what we'll consider in this passage. We'll look at three insights into overwhelming circumstances that move us to hope. And the first insight is that in your overwhelming circumstances, lies will incite your despair. Lies will incite your despair. As we just think about the circumstances that King Hezekiah was facing, we have to admit that just these circumstances alone would have been overwhelming for him. Assyria was the reigning world power. They had all of the military might, all of the strength of a mighty nation, but Israel was just a small backwater nation. And Hezekiah, he had tried every human means of deliverance. He had tried money. 2 Kings 18 tells us that he stripped the gold off the walls of the temple. And he emptied the silver from the treasuries, tried to buy off the Assyrians. He had tried alliances. It seems Sennacherib, as he is speaking against Hezekiah, he talks about how Hezekiah was seeking to trust in Egypt, and Isaiah 30 and 31 sort of help us to think that that is probably the case. It seems that Hezekiah had been trying to work out a deal with the Egyptians to face this great threat. And then he had also tried military might. In verse 3, we see that he had brought the water supply into the walls, into Jerusalem. In verse 5, we see that he had built up the wall and he had stockpiled weapons. And then in verses 6 through 8, we see that he had organized and encouraged his troops. And yet, despite all of these preparations, despite all of the human means for dealing with this threat, the Assyrians remained. Now, these circumstances on their own, these overwhelming circumstances would incite despair in Hezekiah. But what's really striking about this passage is really the propaganda, the lies of Sennacherib inciting despair. And as we look through these verses, especially 9 through 15, we see three particular lies that Hezekiah faced. First, we have the lie that you have been misled. You have been misled. Look at verse 10. Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, on what are you trusting that you endure the siege in Jerusalem? Is not Hezekiah misleading you that he may give you over to die by famine and by thirst when he tells you the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? Now, Sennacherib's just asking questions here, isn't he? He's just asking questions. He's not saying anything. But what is the point of these questions that he's raising? His goal for these questions is to get the Israelites to believe that they have been misled. That whatever it is they were trusting in, whatever their confidence was empty and meaningless. And brothers and sisters, you will face this temptation in your lives. In your overwhelming circumstances, you will be tempted to believe that you have been misled. That it was foolish for you to ever follow after Christ. That it was foolish for you to be willing to suffer for the gospel. And you will be tempted to think that it was foolish for you to think that God would deliver you in your difficult trouble. And so we have this lie that you have been misled. But second, we have the lie that you don't really understand what God wants. Look at verse 12. Has not this same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, before one altar you shall worship, and on it you shall burn your sacrifices? Now Hezekiah, he had been zealous in reforming the worship of God's people. He had been zealous in applying God's command that there was only one place that God's people were to worship, not on the high places, but at the temple. But Sennacherib here, he's using Hezekiah's zeal against him. He's saying to Hezekiah, you have misunderstood. You thought that this was what God wants, but the reality is that God is angry with you for what you have done. And in the same way, you will be tempted to think that God is angry with you in your service of Him, that your overwhelming circumstances are even His judgment on you, because of your theology or the practice of worship that you are sincerely trying to follow. You've been trying to serve Him, you've been trying to please Him in how you've been reading the Scriptures, how you've been applying these Scriptures to your life, but you may be tempted to believe that you got it wrong, and that the reality is that God is angry with you. And then third, we have the third lie in verses 13 through 15, that your faith is just as empty as everyone else's. Your faith is just as empty as everyone else's. Look at verse 15. Now therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you in this fashion, and do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you out of my hand? Sennacherib is saying, look, Hezekiah. Look, Hezekiah, the other gods, they weren't able to stop me. If you want to worship the Lord God, you just go ahead and worship Him. If it works for you, that's fine. But let's be adults. Don't expect that it's going to help. Don't expect that He is going to protect you now. And isn't that what our culture tells us? You be a Christian if it works for you. If religion is good for you, then you do it. But don't think that it's going to help you more than any other religion. And so like Hezekiah, in your overwhelming circumstances, you will face lies. You will face lies like these, whether lies from other people directly, whether lies just coming up in your own thinking, in your own heart, but really ultimately lies originating from the great deceiver, from Satan himself. You will face lies inciting your despair. And God wants you to know this. He wants you to be ready for lies. And the lies that you will face are believable, they are persuasive, and they will incite you to despair, but know that they are lies. That they're not true. And as you face these lies, as you battle against these lies, you need to think of the proud face of Sennacherib, speaking these lies, but about to face one of the most humiliating defeats of all history. And as you face the lies of Satan, you need to remember that they come from the mouth of one who has already faced the most humiliating defeat in all of history. And as you remember this, as you think of this, as you prepare to face these lies, even seeing these lies will lead you to hope. And so lies will incite your despair. But the second insight in this passage is that in your overwhelming circumstances, God will purify your faith. God will purify your faith. And what was going on in Hezekiah's heart as he faced these challenges? On the one hand, we know that Hezekiah was a man of faith. 2 Kings 18 verse 5 tells us that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord more than any king before him or after him. He was a man of faith, and we see even in verses 7 and 8 as he encourages his people, he encourages the troops, that he is pointing them to trust in the Lord. But on the other hand, if we look at Isaiah chapter 22, we get a different perspective on King Hezekiah. Isaiah 22, starting in verse 8, references this account, and it says this: "In that day, you looked to the weapons of the house of the forest, and you saw that the breaches of the city of David were many. You collected the waters of the lower pool, and you counted the houses of Jerusalem, and you broke down the houses to fortify the city. You made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to him who did it. You did not see him who planned it long ago." And it seems that while Hezekiah was a man of faith, he was not fully trusting the Lord as he faced this threat. He was still relying on human means to deliver. Hezekiah's faith needed to grow. His faith needed to be purified. And the Assyrian threat, it became worse and worse. And as it became worse and worse, his reliance on his own preparation began to crumble. And as he stood on the wall of Jerusalem, he looked out and he saw the campfires of the Assyrians twinkling on the horizon, seemingly as numerous as the stars in the sky. As he heard the Assyrian heralds proclaiming these lies over the city walls, proclaiming the words of despair, Hezekiah finally realized that his own plans, his own strength would not help. And it was as the last strand of self-confidence snapped in his heart, as he realized that he could not save himself, his heart turned fully away from himself and came to rest exclusively on the living God. And as verse 20 says he prayed because of this and cried out to heaven. Hezekiah's utter desperation brought him to the point of utter dependency on the God who was not like other gods. God brought Hezekiah to the end of himself to bring Hezekiah to rest completely on him. And this is what God wants for you. This is what God is working in your heart. He wants your faith to be purified. And if you are facing overwhelming circumstances this morning, if you are overwhelmed this morning, this is a great time to ask yourself, what am I relying on besides the Lord? You see, God, well, he will use whatever it takes. He will use whatever it takes to bring you to the point where you rest exclusively on him. Now, it may be that some of you here this morning, you don't so much need your faith to be purified, but you just need faith. Now, you've never come to the point where you have trusted God, where you have trusted in the God and the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And in your overwhelming circumstances, you are being brought to the breaking point because you don't have a God to turn to. And if that is the case this morning, then you need to know that Hezekiah's God is the living God. And he is the God who is here this morning, and he is a God who can be turned to. And so turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord, confess your sins, confess your self-reliance, embrace his forgiveness in the blood of his Son, and he will save you. But there was more at stake in this situation than Hezekiah's character. And what was at stake in this story was the reputation of God. And so third, in your overwhelming circumstances, God will vindicate his name. God will vindicate his name. In verse 19, we see a kind of a summary of what the Assyrians thought about God, what their view was of God. Verse 19, and they spoke of the God of Jerusalem as they spoke of the gods of the peoples of the earth, which are the work of men's hands. For Sennacherib, the God of Israel was no God. He believed himself to be the greatest, the one who was above all gods. Sennacherib thought that his power was greater, his might was stronger than any, the God of any nation. But he did not know the living God. And it was from his pride, it was from his great arrogance, his position of strength and authority, it was from all of these things that God came in judgment on him. And verse 21 falls like a hammer blow, and the Lord sent an angel who cut off all the mighty warriors and commanders and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria. The proud one was humbled. The mocking one became the one who was mocked. Before the living God, before the great God, the numerous ranks of military might became piles of dead bodies. The Lord alone made it clear that he alone was God. And this deliverance of Hezekiah at the answer of his prayers, it pushes us to hope. It pushes us to trust the God of Hezekiah who is our God. But it may be that some of you are still wrestling with the question. You are wrestling with the question, will God really vindicate his name in my overwhelming circumstances? And to answer that question, we need to think about this great deliverance. We need to think about this great event as it points us forward to a son of Hezekiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like King Hezekiah, Jesus faced overwhelming circumstances. Now, the Lord Jesus, he set his face to the cross. He anticipated drinking from the cup of the wrath of God. Yet he went that way in perfect faith, trusting God with a pure heart, resting wholly on his Father in heaven. And as he went that way, every human deliverance seemed to fail. His disciples abandoned him. Barabbas was released in his place, and Pilate did nothing to stop it. And as he went to his death, it must have seemed, like the confidence of Jesus was misplaced, that he had trusted in vain. And on that dark day when his body lay in the grave, as his disciples were wondering, would God vindicate his name? Their conclusion must have been, I guess not. I guess not. But on the first day of the week, Jesus came back to life. He rose again from the dead. And on that day, God was vindicated. God showed that he alone was God, that he alone is Savior. He alone is worthy of trust. And brothers and sisters, this morning you are known by, you are loved by, you are connected to this resurrected Jesus. It's by his resurrection that he magnifies his strength in your failure. It's by his resurrection that he bears on himself the responsibilities that are too great for you to bear. And it's by his resurrection that he gives hope, no matter how deep your sorrow. And while you don't know the path that God will take from your overwhelming circumstances to vindicating his name, you know, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will vindicate it. In your troubles, God will vindicate his name. So are you overwhelmed this morning? Certainly, in your overwhelming circumstances, you will be tempted. You will be tempted to despair. But in your overwhelming circumstances, God will purify your faith. And God is working, even in your overwhelming circumstances, to vindicate his name. So that in your overwhelming circumstances, no matter what they are, you can face them, not with despair, but with hope. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you that you alone are God, and that you alone are the living God who is not like other gods.